Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on the line. We had a break on last Thursday. We were working crazy hours and to take a break. So we thank God for being able to take a break. And we know we were able to get through the a week one more time, and this week we didn't have any snow, and thank God that we were able to weather the season of this winter, and good to get back on the Bible study line tonight. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege and another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen and need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sheila G., we are continuing to study the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, and we've been going through some other scriptures as we see the work of Paul and Barnabas in the first century church as they began to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the Jews first, and then also they're going to the Gentiles to spread it. And what we were talking about, it was like 3 or 4 Thursdays ago, is that needed to be prepared to combat the lies of Satan, the lives of the enemy, with the truth of God. And so we were talking about how important it was to be able to know the truth of God. And so in that 13th chapter of the book of Acts, it actually goes back to the beginning of the ministry and the plan of God. And so Paul and Barnabas, they track back to where Abraham and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Moses, and then how they were in Egypt, and how God brought them out of Egypt, and so they confronted the lie of those who would tell God people something other than the truth, and so they would go all the way back and know the facts. And we talked about being able to know the facts, so you won't come up against not being able to carry out what God's word is or God's will is. So one of the things that when we go back to that Acts 13 is that God's people were told that there should be a follow him and not follow man. And one of the things that they did, one of the errors that they made was that they desired a king. And God told them that the king would lead them astray. But they said, no, we're going to have a king. And so one of the things that Paul and Barnabas did is they went back and they rehearsed that whole history of them. So let's go back to that Acts 13, and then we'll pick back up of how we were going through it. We went through and we looked at Ephesians about the spiritual warfare. We looked through about the big lie in Genesis. But we want to see how it ties back into Acts 13. So if we go back to Acts 13 and we look at verse 16, Acts 13, verse 16, says, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people. Then when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. So he's going back and he's giving this background, this footing to those Jewish leaders in the synagogue where they would meet. And then he said, the God of this people of Israel, our father, verse 17, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out of it. And in verse 18, he says, in about time of 40 years, suffered he their manners. In other words, they didn't behave, you know, in a manner that was pleasing to God. In verse 19, it says, when they destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land with them by lot. In other words, he gave them land that they didn't fight for, and land that they didn't toil for. He gave it to them. And in verse 20 says, after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years with Samuel the prophet. In other words, he gave them judges, people that ruled them, and every time they would do something right, they would always fall back, and God would send them another judge to bail them out. So God has blessed them, and God has kept them, and God has taken them through all these things year after year after year. Even when they fell down, God made a way for them. He gave them judges. He gave them prophets. And then in verse 21, it says, and afterwards, after the time of the prophets, after the time of the judges, in verse 21, he says that afterward they desired a king. And they looked around and they saw everybody else had a king, so they wanted a king. And God gave them to them Saul. This is verse 21. And afterward they desired a king. God told them, "You don't need a king. I'll be your God. I'll lead you, because you get a king, king gonna act up, and you'll be in trouble." So God gave them a king, and Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And verse 23 said, of this man, see, had God, according to his promise, raised up Israel, a savior, Jesus. And so, Paul and Barnabas went back and took them from way back when they went into to captivity in Egypt, brought them through the different periods of times of where he was with them in the wilderness, where he brought them judges, where he brought them prophets, where he brought them a king, where he brought them the Savior. And so he goes back and he has the truth. He has the research. He has the record on his side. And so in order for them to confront the lies and the deception, you have to go back and you have to, I call it the way back machine, what they have now, Sheila G, is where you can go way back on the internet and you can get the words of folk, what they said way back.
Right.
And in the political climate that we live in today, and in the lying environment that we live today, you can go back and see some of these senators, some of these congressmen, some of these people, and the lie they're telling now is different from the story that they told way back. It's like, well, wait a minute. And you put the side by side film on me and say, okay, well, 2 years ago you said this.
Uh-huh.
And now today you're saying this. It can't be both, Senator.
Right.
It can't be both, Congresswoman. It can't be both, mayor or governor or man or preacher or whoever. And
right.
So what Saul and Paul and Barnabas did is they went back and they got the truth of the record, that everyone knew that this is the truth of the record. And
right.
and confronted them saying, this is what God did. You know what God did. Why are you telling the lie?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be spiritually prepared. You have to have the whole armor of God on. You have to understand who God is and what God's plan and purpose for you is in order to be able to stand up to these lies. Because these folks will change and lie on you just
right.
like the weather. Sheila
yeah. G. Amen. And then when you think about the reason why they had to do this, and it really does make you think about today, is because at the end of the day, they're leading up to the lineage of the lineage of Jesus to show that Jesus came to save all of us, the Jews and the Gentiles, not the Jews.
That's right.
And they were taking a half-truth that, yes, God was with them in the beginning, and, yes, their ancestors did this and everything, but Jesus came to give life and have life for everybody. So they had to take them back to the beginning and say, yes, you started out as the chosen one, but even though you were stiff-necked, and he called you stiff-necked, he still showed love and compassion. Then he did this. Now they are saying, they're like, yep, that's right. Now he's coming to, okay, now you have the true and living king that is here for both Jews and Gentiles. And that's what happens today. Like, they will twist that thing at the Bible. That's how they used it for slavery. That's how they used it. Suppress the vote, taking part of the scripture to say that slave and master and taking this, that, and the other. But just like he, like Paul is leading them, he's leading them out. Okay, now here comes Jesus. And they're talking to both the Jews and the Gentiles at this point to let the Israelites know, the lie stops here. So let me take you back and bring you to say what you said, like you said in the beginning. So you agree with me on that part. Yep. You believe about the wilderness. Yep. You believe about the judges. Yep. You believe about the kings. Yep. Okay, well, then from David came Jesus. Jesus sacrificed his life for Jews. So it's like the setup, because you can't stop it there, but it's the same thing. It's like that, like this white supremacist, they believe, and the man said it right in front of the congressman, that these groups honestly believe that they are the supreme being, that the white man is supposed to be the supreme being in accordance to God. No, that's not how it is, and it's the same thing. It's like you can't take a part of the facts and not. So you got to take people back, let them see the whole thing, and see that Jesus died for Jews, Gentiles, everybody. He sacrificed his life for all of us, all that believe in him. And that's how they led them to half from half truth to the full truth.
Amen, Dr. G. You with us, Dr. G? He dropped off. Something when they switch over, and it's happened the last 3 weeks, they dropped off. I'm sure they're going to call back in. But again, in this spiritual warfare that we are in, you got to know the truth. You got to know the word of God. You got to know the whole story. And when you know the whole story, then you can respond correctly.
We got kicked
we got
off again.
Yeah, it seems like as soon as we go to Dr. G, it gets kicked off again. So, Dr. G, you wanted to chime in on it?
Well, what I would say, you know, and when you look at what was going on during biblical days and fast forward to where we are now, nothing really has changed. And the bad part about it is you can show people the truth. And the very ones that are telling the lie, you can show them the clips, remind them of what they said, and they'll just ignore that, cover that lie up, and continue to keep lying. But that's that's the kind of world we're living in. And just like, you know, we've said from day one, nothing has really changed. And that's why it's important that we who know the truth have got to speak the truth.
Amen. Very powerful. Very powerful. Because it's vital, and that's why it's important for us to be able to study,
right,
get together, to know the word. Because we looked at the way Satan knows the word, and he twists it up.
Yep.
And so people, because of their complacency, don't know the word like they should, and so the enemy will come in and feed you just enough to start a conspiracy,
right,
chaos, and that's when we went to Genesis last time we were together and saw how Satan played to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life of Adam and Eve, and left a little something out there that says, hey, God doesn't want you to be like him. God's holding back on you. God's lying to you because he doesn't want you to be like him. And, you know, now they saw that the tree was pleasant to the eye and good for food and able to make one wise. And say, maybe there is something to this conspiracy that this Satan is talking about. So we're going to believe the lie instead of believing the truth. We're going to be the lie of Satan instead of believing the truth of God. And so if you don't know the word of God, if you don't spend time with God, people can be deceived. And when they're deceived, what happens is then their pride gets stuck and they can't go back and say, yeah, I screwed up. Yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I went the wrong way. And it's like these crazy people like today, people were talking about, that the former president was going to be president again, and that there wasn't any president since the 19th president. And then just today, out of all of the blue, the former president was going to be president again. I'm going to say, well, what happened to the president, the former president, when he was president last 4 years?
Right.
He wasn't president? Oh, my God. But people... But people, Sheila G, but people are dug in, and they can't, they're so dug in on the lie that their hearts are hardened and they're dug in. And so Satan now has gotten people to believe a lie, whether it's a lie about this past presidency or a lie about anything else. And so people's pride gets in the way. And that's what we talked about last time, about letting pride get away. People's pride get in the way. And so now, even though they know the truth, they're so proud and they're so hardened, they can't turn it, they can't let it go. They got to continue to, in spite of all the stuff that makes them look bad and makes them look silly, and they'll move on to another thing. They can't say, I'm screwed up, I messed up. Yeah, God forgive me. I'm saying to come joy to your glory. I screwed up. Please forgive me. And they carry this burden of lie, and they sit there and look people in the face and say, no, well, if it didn't have this, it's this. And, okay, if this didn't work, then now this is going to work. Instead of just saying, yep, what you said is true, and admitting it and moving on with their life. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's that flesh. That's that pride of life. And that's the emotions. That's why we have to check ourselves And before we react, before we believe, before we trust in man, trust in God and ask God to reveal things to us, and even when we're wrong. If you have the love of Christ in you, if God can forgive us, I'm not going to worry about man. Mm-hmm. If I can go to God and he is more powerful than any man, and I can say, Lord, I messed up and God forgives me, why do I have to keep up the big lie for man when man can't do anything for me or to me? But people are so busy wanting to be people pleasers that they're more concerned mm-hmm. about pleasing people and power, that pride, than pleasing God and allowing God to lead them. And so Satan recognizes that. And this big lie, these big conspiracies have always been here, but because we lost our moral compass, because we mm-hmm. stopped putting Satan in check, because the church became more active in politics and less active in building spiritual lives, Satan was able
now.
Put it in the power of politics up at the head, the head of the nation, which basically gave the stamp of approval on this lie,
yes.
on these conspiracy theories that have always been around. When we were in church, when we were serving God, when we were, you know, promoting the Spirit, you know, talking about the Lord and converting souls to Christ, those things that was still there, but God was more powerful. But Satan's like, okay. Since y'all ain't paying attention, since everybody's being themselves, everybody's compromising the word, I'm going to put something in power so that will give a megaphone to the big lie. And then the next thing you know, everybody started compromising more and everybody got sucked in. So now you can't put the cow back in the barn because of
pride.
Instead of saying, you know what, let me get down on my knees. What we need right now is everybody to start praying. Start praying. Mm-hmm. Get back to the old way of doing things. And once you do that, then you can run Satan out. But he counted on that power, that ego, that pride, and people just keep the big lie going.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G.
Well, you know, while Sheila was talking, I was just sitting there thinking. And the whole time that the big lie is being told and people, I mean, I look at this, the politicians and this news, everything that comes out of their mouth, they don't care about people. They're just in it for the power. And they'll do whatever they have to do. They'll say whatever they have to do, knowing that is wrong. And it's all about staying in office. I mean, you know, you go back and you think about how Christ was concerned about the little man. And Sheila was right. You know, this country has lost their way because they've taken their sights off of the God. God used to be what they trusted in now. But all that is out the window. And it's everything but God. So you see all of what's going on. They lie in politics. They lie in church. They lie everywhere.
Yeah.
And folk just don't want to tell the truth. And people have itchy ears. As long as the lies are still, they're going to still listen.
Amen, amen. And it's vitally important that you know the truth and don't go for that. Don't go for that. It's dangerous. But this is we talked about the modus operandi or the operating method of the enemy. Is to get you in your motion, get you out of your spiritual foundation, get you away from the truth. And so now you're believing the lie because that's the lie someone's telling you. They're playing to your emotion. They're manipulating you. They're deceiving you into believing something. Somebody's taking something from you, or you deserve something that you don't deserve. And you get way out there in the deep water and you can't get back. It's like you're way out there in the water. You can't negotiate back. And the only way you can get back is to turn to God. And one of the most powerful prayers, and Shoji, you hit on it, is in the book of Second Chronicles in 7:14. And in that, it talks about how God's people get healed, and what sin does is it causes death.
Mm-hmm.
It creates a a thing that causes us to be separated from God. Sin separates us from God.
And right.
When separated from God, whether it's physically or spiritually, you're unwell. You're not well. And,
right.
And you need to be healed from our souls. Our sin sick souls need to be healed. And,
mm-hmm.
and so in that 2 Chronicles 7:14, it talks to God's people back then, which is applicable for today. Just like 1 John 1:9, it talks about if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is talking about Christians, that we have to acknowledge that we sin. Part of spiritual warfare, knowing the truth, is knowing the truth that, hey, I messed up.
Right.
And so the earlier that John is with the first century church, but before the church established in Chronicles, it talks about how to get back in the well area of being healed by God. So I want to look at that. Look at that scripture this evening to see all of this stuff that's talked on the news or nobody's talking about the healing. Nobody's talking about what can heal out. Everybody's talking about the pandemic, but the pandemic is one thing, but also there needs to be a healing of our spiritual soul. So
mm-hmm.
these verses actually pertain to both the physical and the spiritual, and so we need both. And so if you look at that, we'll turn to that Bible right now, and it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. In the Old Testament, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And so what we talked about last time, the opposite of pride.
Right,
is
humility.
We were talking about the last Thursday that we talked about is humility.
Right.
And so the key to healing the sin-sick soul, to healing us from physical and spiritual, is to become humble enough to say, you know what? This ain't going right.
Right.
I'm sick. I'm sick, Dr. G, Sheila G. I'm sick spiritually and I'm sick physically. And that's
right.
Where we are as a country right now. As a country
mm-hmm.
right now, we're sick spiritually and we're sick physically. And
yes.
God says, in order for you to be able to become well, you got to start off with some humility.
Humility. Amen. Humility, because you can't have pride and humility at the same time. And when you have pride, pride blocks God out. And you're feeding into Satan, because that's why Satan got kicked out, because of pride. So when you're humble, you humble yourself, then you can hear from God. If you have too much pride, you're listening to yourself or you listen to someone that has just as much pride, and God can't work with you. God can't work within you, because now you have nothing but darkness in your soul instead of light. Once you humble yourself, that's when you shut up, you sit down, you be quiet, you allow God to speak to you. Then you can say, I messed up, God. I'm sorry. You can apologize mm-hmm. to whoever, and you can change your life. We have seen people that have done, and we ourselves have done some stuff where we look
yeah.
back and we're like, oh, my God,
yeah.
I can't believe I did that. But once we got
yeah.
ourselves together, got our act together, and asked God to help us, he turned us to the other side. But he's not going to force himself on you. You have to make that choice that I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to get off my high horse. I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm going to ask God to forgive me and ask God to lead God me and direct my path.
Oh, man. We lost her again. Sheila G? Sheila G? Sheila G. MSB, are you on mute? You can call back in. They're gonna call back in. But what we want to continue on in that Second Chronicles 7:14, where it talks about humble, being humble, and that's one of the things that we get too far from, because we're easily get puffed up, and we start believing, and people start swelling our heads, and we start believing in other people believing that we're more than what we are, we forget about humility. A lot of loud and boisterous and not humble, just arrogant and pompous, and they want glory for themselves, and they don't want to acknowledge God, but they believe it's all about them. And when you get that to that place, you're not humble. I think we got them back now. G, you back?
Yeah, we're back. You know what? I think we're making Satan mad tonight. That's twice. Every Thursday it's happened. It's the first time it happened twice.
Right. But you were saying about
having peace.
Yeah,
that's what I was just saying, is that once we humble ourselves, and you can see in these people that are double-minded, they don't have peace. That's why they're waving back and forth with the wind. And it talks about that in James, as a matter of fact, that, you got to be counted all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. But in order to do that, you got to have peace so that you won't waver. Are we still connected?
Yes, you're still connected. So in following up that Second Chronicles 7:14, it talks about if my people, and God's talking about His people, he's talking about folks that are people of God. It's just like in the First John 1:9, he's talking about saved people, talking about Christian people. And this lets us know that Christian people or people of God, people that are found believed in God and God counted them for righteousness toward them, that because of sin, they have a need to confess their sins. They have a need to turn back to God because they mess up. And and people don't want to believe that they mess up. And so in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. So in other words, if you say you're a child of God, you need to humble yourself.
Right.
That was one thing that our dad, we would always, when we were ever at family gatherings, when we would ask him to pray, or when he was as deacon, he would always say, let us humble our hearts, let us humble ourselves. Yes. And I can hear his words, and I can still hear his words today. And we taught it to the family, we taught it to our children. Even today, my children say, granddad used to say, let's humble ourselves. In other words, that's the position. God Almighty, that's the position of being blessed.
Right.
When you are God's child, you want to be in a position of being blessed. You better humble your behind.
Before you talk to God,
humble your behind. You better humble you. You can't come to God pompous.
Right.
You can't come to God demanding stuff. You can't come to God arrogant and like you gonna tell God something. These people have lost their mind. It's God who told Moses on the mountain. He said, "Take off your shoes."
Yes, you are,
because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. And so we've forgotten that God is holy, and we're the ones, amen, that all of our righteousness is but filthy rags. But because of our arrogance, because of our pride, we think that we can just approach God and live on God's earth and do anything in any kind of way. God ain't having it.
Nope.
God will shut this world down. God shut it down with a flood.
Fire, storms.
he shut it down with a flood. He had to put eight people in an ark because people would not humble themselves, and they thought that they could approach a holy God any old kind of way, amen, and don't think you're going to experience the wrath of God?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody need to get it right, Dr. G. Somebody got it twisted when they think that they can be God's people and not be humble and just treat a holy God any old kind of way. Dr.
Amen.
G, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to go into preaching mode. I'm going to leave that alone.
All right, but that's the truth. And that's part of what is wrong with our people today. You hit it on the head. I mean, we think, okay, we are God's people, and the Lord is going to bless us any way, every way, no matter how we act, what we do, or anything else. I think about those folk that went up in the Capitol and had the nerve to get up in the Senate chamber and had the nerve to hold the Bible and pray. And then end the prayer in Jesus' name. I mean, how much more blasphemy can we do?
Amen.
And we're living in the midst of that. And as you and Sheila were saying, you know, we've got this thing turned around. We are blocking our blessings because we won't do what's right before God.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't get it. You know, that's why, you know, folks think that it's okay if I hit and miss with church, if I hit and miss with tithing, if I hit and miss because I got some other things to do for prayer service and Bible study. I'll get a little bit here, but I'm too busy for God. But yet when junk happens in their life, then they want the Lord to step in right then and there and help them out. But 2 Chronicles hit it. If my people.
There you go.
My people. See, everybody that's crying on the Lord, and I tell folks, y'all, everybody is not the Lord's people. And we're showing ourselves by the way that we conduct ourselves. I think I was talking to folk on the prayer line or church or something, and I told them that, you know, what we say is just part of it. You've got to act in the way that you're talking. If you're talking about how good God is and he's done this, that, and the other, then you've got to show forth some action. And we just don't do it. We've lost sight of how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to do, but yet folk would idolize this former president, talking about he's our God, he's the chosen one, and make a golden statue out of him and go bow down to this fool. And then talking about we coming back up on March the 4th, and he going to be in the office because we're going to remove Democratic lawmakers. People have got that thing turned around. And if we would slow down, take a look, it's not just in the U.S. It's all over the world. God is getting people's attention.
Amen.
And every corner of the world has a record of the Great Flood.
Mm-hmm.
And the Great Flood is when God wiped out all the eight folk on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Every nation has a record of the Great Flood. Every archaeologist can go to the record and say, hey, this is where this world was covered in water. And and to understand the vastness of this world, to be able to say this world was completely covered with water, that blows your mind. You can't comprehend it. It's devastating. God put a rainbow in the sky and said, I'm not going to do it again. And so what we need to do is go back. When Solomon, he said, I'm not going to ask for riches. I'm not going to ask for long life. King Solomon, after he came from David in that Second Chronicles, his son, David's son, he said, you know, we're going to mess up. And he said, if your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and pray. And the second part of that,
come on now,
Chronicles 7:14, he says, and seek my face. In other words, seek my face. So Solomon prayed this, and God said, everything that you said, because you were humble and you didn't ask for riches and because you didn't ask for long life, he says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. In other words, we had to turn to God. We have to seek God. We have to come to it, Sheila G., in God's way.
Mm-hmm.
The only way it's going to work out for our good. The only way it's going to work out for our sin-sick soul, our spiritual soul, our physical condition, is if we do it God's way. But people don't want to hear that.
Mm-mm.
They don't want to hear it. They want to try everything and everything, amen, according to the way they want to do it.
Amen, amen. It was one of the our members, Minister Lewis, during our prayer service, was talking about, you know, how with everything that she's been through, she realized that she had to turn to God and trust God no matter what it looked like. And she said that she'd been through stuff, but she had to stop trying to do things by the book of Mimi and do it, turn to God and God and do it by God. And we were like, you know what? That spoke to every last one of us, because we do. We want to do it by the book of Sheila, the book of me. But unless we do it by the book of God, meaning that we blindly trust Him, until we do that, He cannot heal the land. He cannot do for us. We will cut off our blessings. But we got to follow Him, seek Him first, and then all the other things will be added unto us.
And that's like Dr. G was hitting on earlier. That's a language. That's a language. And we're learning computers when computers start coming out. There's a basic language that computers follow, and it's if then. That's basic logic. So every line of computer code is based upon if X, Y, Z happens. Then go to X1, X2, X3. But you can't get to X1, X2, X3 if X, Y, and Z doesn't occur first.
Exactly.
And so that's the line of a logic of computer code. And it's basic. But folks don't want to get to the basic. God said, if you call by my name, you're going to have to humble yourself, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to seek my face.
Yeah.
First of all, you had to pray and you have to seek my face. And then this is the part where you had to come down off your high horse, and it says, and turn from their wicked ways. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Hello.
So in other words, you're going to have to make a change. You have to make a change.
Yes.
Turn away from it. But too many times, like Dr. G said, they like them itchy ears. They like sin feel good, y'all. Don't say it don't feel good. It feels good to the flesh.
The flesh to desire.
Because if it didn't feel good, we wouldn't do it.
Exactly. Yep.
I'm meddling now. Sheila G. I'm meddling.
Yep. Short term.
Short term flesh.
Yep. You still there?
Yeah. I'm still here.
Yeah.
But the thing is, God. You're not going to pull the wool over his eye. You're not going to fool him. He knows every hair on our head, every strand of hair on our head. So we need to do it his way. And he says, humble yourself and pray.
Yep.
Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. And then what is he says? This is the if-then about I was talking about computer code, but when it says, it's in that second part of that verse, he says, and turn from your wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will hear their land. So the healing, the forgiveness and the healing is predicated upon the humbling, the
humility,
praying, and the seeking, and turning from the wicked ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't hear that on the news. We don't hear enough from the pulpit. We don't hear enough from our neighbors.
Right.
But everybody wants the healing. Everybody wants forgiveness. Everybody wants the healing. But nobody wants to do the prerequisite. You know, so like when you go to college or when you go from one grade to another, there's prerequisites that you have to do. When you're going for a job or a job interview, when you're looking for a job in the paper or, you know, a job description, it has certain prerequisites that you have to have in order to qualify for the job. And people understand that, but people don't understand it. In order to qualify for the forgiveness and the healing, there are some prerequisites that are required.
Amen. And what you said is important, is we don't share it enough. Those of us that are chosen by God, we need, and that's why all this happened, is because from the pulpit to the door, we started doing all these sugarcoating messages and compromising God's word instead of just being honest and saying that God recognizes our shortcomings and he can bring us through our shortcomings. But just like we train our children on how to do things, they're still going to mess up. But as they get older, we train them on how to do things, like you said, even on a job. God is right there with us as well. He knows that we're still going to fly off the handle. He knows we're still going to get upset. He knows that we're still going to...
No, they didn't. Oh, my gosh. She dropped off. She dropped off. Come on back, Sheila G. Come on back. She's coming back. But we know they are speaking the truth of God, and a lot of times these electronics, they get funny, but they'll be back. But the last scripture we want to share with you all is what you were saying about we mess up, we fall down. And the next scripture that we want to share is from the New Testament. It's 1 John 1:9, and it talks about how in the first century church, in the church of the day, that we mess up. And what happens is when we mess up and we say we don't mess up, then we are perpetrating a lie. And so we have to get to a point where we understand that God is nothing but truth, and that God is not one who will lie or who can lie. And so we have to make sure we understand that. And in that first John 1, verses 9 and 10, it will let us know that what we have to do to get right with God. Chill G, you still there? You there now?
That was three times. Yeah,
that's a record. It's three times.
Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Satan is mad.
Yeah. So you were saying about we know we're going to mess up. And so I was sharing with our listeners that 1 John 1:9, actually 1 John 1:8, it talks about God being light, and that there's no darkness in him, and that God's not a liar, and he understands our shortcomings. But when we humble ourselves and pray and seek his faith, God, this, I call this the spiritual soap. This is the spiritual soap, is in 1 John 1, verses 7 through 10. And it lets us know that we can get cleaned up. Once you're saved,
right,
once you've been born again, you can get cleaned up. So I want to go to 1 John 1:7 and read through 10. And then we'll go to the phone line. So in 1 John, this is in the New Testament, 1 John, first chapter, verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So that's the cleansing that we were talking about in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Cleansing. Jesus Christ cleanses. He cleanses us from the sin. And so, and that's what Paul and Barnabas were going back through the record in Acts 13 to get to the point where we're cleansed from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in verse 8 it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." And this is what Satan wants us to do, to be deceived. Deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And in other words, if we continue in that lie, then we don't know Jesus. We don't know God, because we're believing a lie. So what God says, in verse 9, he says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful, talking about God, and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, because Jesus paid the price for that sin that Adam and Eve committed in the garden, everyone that came after Adam and Eve, because he lived the sinless life in the flesh, he is become our righteousness. And so we take on his righteousness when we believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so because of his ability to have paid the price that was required in Genesis, he says now he can forgive us our sin. God can forgive us our sin because Jesus died for our blood, died for our sin. And he says, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so that is the way to health spiritually, physically, in God, is to confess our sins and that God will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is not just for your initial salvation, but this is for everyday life, that I messed up and I confess my sin. And like I said, this is like the spiritual soap, like you take a shower or a bath every day. You get clean every day because every day you have a tendency to get dirt. And so
right.
and so you need the spiritual soap. He said he's able to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. However, in verse 10, he said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Again, we're talking about that big lie. We make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so God is not a liar. God is the truth. Don't believe your lying eyes, as the song say, and don't believe the deception and the lies of Satan. God is not a lie. But if you believe that lie, and if you're deceived by that lie, what happens is then you are not God's and the word of God is not in you. Mm. Children.
Amen. Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. I hear you.
Oh, okay. I was saying, yeah, and that's why we need to study God's word to understand that, because a lot of times people, when they do have that initial salvation, they think that, okay, I'm good now. Satan's not going to tempt me any longer. But if he tempted Jesus, he's definitely going to tempt us. And that's why, you know, like Pastor and you, when people do give their life to Christ, you tell them that you need to get in that word, you need to pray, because the second you step out of here, Satan is going to start messing with you. And if you don't get that word in you, you're starting to feel guilty. Then you'll go right back out there because you're trying to be perfect and you can't be perfect. That's why you have to believe, trust in God and not trust in man, yourself, and your carnal mind.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G, want to chime in on that before we go to the phone line?
Well, you know, I was just sitting there thinking that, you know, once we accept Christ, I mean, the Bible teaches that old things are passed away and all things become new. Well, you've got to want it, and you've got to help keep it within your heart. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And to continue to renew your mind, you got to get it. You got to study. You've got to have contact with the one who can keep you clean.
Amen. 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 I think that's going to be our question tonight, that we understand the importance of the constant evaluation of staying clean, evaluating your life and making sure that you're confessing your sins and asking God for forgiveness. The remaining of the relationship, the proper relationship, even in our human relationship, time to time, husbands and wives, they get it wrong, and they have to go to each other, and they have to humble themselves and ask for forgiveness, and then the relationship can heal and go about having the proper relationship. So we'll ask the question, let me break all this down. Do we understand the importance of confession and restoration of our relationship? So if we have a relationship, do we understand the confession of our faults, the confession of our sin, how important that is to a strong or proper relationship? So we're going to go to our first caller, and we're going to go to last four digits, 1741. You are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, I understand the importance of confession of your sins. Sin causes us to feel guilty and ashamed. and it hinders our spiritual growth. And so when we mess up and we are able to humble ourselves and come to the Lord and confess our sins, our relationship and fellowship get stronger with him, and he cleanses us through the cleansing process. It takes away our guilt and our shame. And as we get in that word, we begin to learn and to know the promises that God has told us. We trust the promises. We understand that we need Jesus. Every person has sinned. And I think that's the problem. A lot of time people feel like, I'm good. You know, I try to love people, I try to do this and I do that, and they feel as if they don't have any sins, and they, you know, that they are a good person. And some people will even tell you that I'm a good person, you know. And some people will even tell you what I've done, I've gotten it by myself, you know. And so a lot of time when we leave Jesus out of the picture, and that's the first part, is to submit and submit yourself, surrender yourself. And when you realize your shape, you have to realize that you are a sinner, just saved by God's grace. And when you realize how bad a shape you in, the more you realize how much you need Jesus. But until you get to that point, you know, you're going to always... hindrance there and the stumbling blocks there. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, when you surrender your life to the Lord and you ask him to come in and to be your Savior, to be your Lord and your Savior, and the more you get in that word, the more the word convicts. God has sent his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin.
Amen.
When you get in that word, the Holy Spirit is certainly going to convict you. And so if you pray and ask God, you want a close personal relationship with you, he's going to give it to you. You might not like what you're feeling. You might not like what he's going to do to you. But he certainly will give it to you. But it will help you to grow and be a better person. But you
Amen.
Have to seek him, and you have to ask him. And submit and surrender.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. That's for digit 6309. 6309. You're on there.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I understand the importance of confessing your sins and realizing who God is. Because, see, first of all, I understand, because when I asked him for his help years ago, he gave it to me. He showed me what he was going to do. He showed me everything that I needed to do. He walked with me. That's why I'm on this phone on Thursday. That's why I'm on the phone on Wednesday. That's why I'm on that phone. I have missed nothing, Sunday, nothing. Not because I'm having no contest, because this is what I need. This is what I want.
Amen.
You got to want it. Everybody can talk the talk, but you got to walk that walk.
Amen.
Okay? You got to walk that walk. I mean, yeah, everybody say, yeah, God knows our heart. Yeah, he knows our heart, but he wants us to show him that we appreciate the way he has come in and changed us. You know, he's done something miraculous and glorious for us. You know, so I'm just so happy that I'm able to do this now, because you're talking about some wicked ways, baby. I got mine. I had them. He took them. He changed me, and I know I'm changed. I don't nobody have to tell me. I know I'm changed.
Yeah.
I love him. Yeah. He will do things for you that no man out there can do for you. You hear me? He'll be your boyfriend. He'll be your doctor,
right,
lawyer,
now.
Whatever.
Right,
he will do it for you. But you got to trust him. You got to believe in him. You got to wait on him. And you have to want it. It's easy. when you, it's easy for you to stay away from them wicked ways with the Lord, you know, because you know what he can do for you. You know what he's capable of. Don't let nothing pull you back, and nothing's not going to pull me back. I'm just speaking for myself, because I've been made my mind up, but that's another thing. You got to make up your mind. So,
amen.
I think once we do that and we have a relationship with him, yes, I asked for a relationship with him, and he gave it to me, and I'm just as humble and nimble as I can be. Whatever happens,
right,
happens, because I always got my joy. There's always some joy in it, you know. And when you know him, you know how I feel, you know. To everybody be running around with their heads shut off and cut off and acting crazy. I don't have to do that no more. I used to do it. Oh, boy. I used to do it. Go off in a second. I don't do that no more because I know God's going to fight my battles for me. I know that because I believe trust in him. And so I'm just thankful to be able to get on the phone calls and everything, but it's not nothing that nobody's saying, you got to do this, you got to. It's what I want to do. And when you want to do it, no problem for you to do it. You can always find time to do it. So I just thank you for listening. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank
you for your call tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 6664. 6664, you're on the air. Six 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 four must be listening in. Go to our next caller. Last four digits 3343. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Well, good evening.
We always said, I'd say it, I don't sin that much. I really say that. Used to say that sometimes. But I gotten older and I find out that where my sin comes in, and I have learned the things that I've been trying to do and stay on the right track and do the right thing. So, yes, I confess my sin every morning and every evening. Going
amen.
To bed and in the morning.
Amen.
I thank the good Lord. He gave me another chance to get up on my foot and on my eyes open and opening. And I know that some things, or I've said something, or I'm going to do something and don't realize that I've sinned already. But I know that where sin comes in, and I beg your pardon, God, forgive me. I know I sin every day, and I said, ask me, forgive me, because I know wherever I came from, I got to come through it, and I'm going to go through it as I go along. And I want to say, forgive me, God, and help me as long as I can stay on this earth. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712. You're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Very good question. I think for me, you know, I'll be honest, I have to be more consistent, you know, with it. You know, when I really started to take this Christian journey serious and really wanted to establish a relationship with God, it sounded good, but I didn't really understand at the time what I was actually getting myself into and how consistent, you know, I needed to be day in and day out when it comes to my relationship with the Lord. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't even remember the last time I've asked God for forgiveness. But, you know, it's something I'm definitely going to work on and try to be consistent at. I know there are things that I need to do better, and I kind of have talks with myself, but I just need to be more consistent in making sure that when I'm talking to myself, I'm also looping God in that conversation as well. But, you know, it is tough. I think sometimes mentally we are our own worst enemies. And I think we have to also realize the other side of the coin, that when we establish a relationship with Christ, we are ambassadors for Christ, and people are going to start to look at us and what we do and how we move and how we deal with adversity. Because, you know, it's great when everything is going great. You can talk about how great God is and the sun shining and the birds chirping, but people really start looking like, okay, sun ain't shining over there now. Let's see how this brother talks about God and what he does, or somebody's talking about him. Let's see if he's going to exercise forgiveness or just, you know, kill him with kindness and do those things. And I think Pastor and Ali's touched on it about, it's one thing to say the things and it's one thing to talk it and know all these scriptures, do all these things. But if you're not living it, if you're not walking that walk, you're wasting your time. And most importantly, you're wasting, you know, God's time. But, you know, periodic check-ins are good. And again, I think Ali stated that's why I call on Wednesdays. I call on Thursdays. I make sure I get up early on Sundays and get it because it's like a refresher and it helps to remind me like, hey, you know, you still have work to do. We had a good week, but next week is coming and you did these things great. But here's what we need to kind of work on some things in the body of Christ. So it definitely helps me. But I, you know, I take copious notes when we're on these calls, because for all that I do well and I know I've come a long way, I still have a ways to go with my relationship with Christ. But, you know, I think I speak for everybody. You know, we can all do better and we can all be better. But in order for that to happen, we got to be able to look ourselves in the mirror and just say, hey, these are my shortcomings, God, and I want to do better and I need you to help me do better. But God is like, well, you got to do your part. You know, I'm knocking at the door and I'm not going to be knocking forever. You know what I'm saying? So we got to answer that door. And we got to be serious with God and have a little talk with Jesus so that he can work it out in our lives. But, you know, that's something that I definitely have to be mindful of and be better of, because, you know, I know there have been times in my life where I've disappointed God and I've frustrated God. And God maybe have been a little upset at me from time to time. But, you know, I have to be more consistent in sitting down and having that one-on-one talk with God and figure out what I can do better. Just be consistent, because, I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, sometimes I think people think when you're a Christian, you got to get it right. You got to be perfect. We got to be the second coming of Jesus, and we got to go out here and be doing these miracles and walking on water. And it's about progression. It's about slow, steady progress. Again, it's not a race. It's a marathon. And we got to realize this is a lifelong journey, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have to be committed to Christ, and sometimes we get defeated because we feel like we got to always be perfect, and I feel guilty of that as well. But I'm like, you know what, God sees me trying, and that's good enough. God sees me getting better. It may not be in leaps and bounds, but I know I'm not the same person today as I was yesterday. I know I'm not the same person in 2021 that I was in 2020, and you know what, that's enough. That's okay. You know, I believe in preaching baby steps, that slow progress is better than no progress. So I feel as long as I'm moving, may not be moving fast. Look, some days I may be running through it and killing it. Other days I may be toting along, you know what I'm saying? And but if I fall down and get back up, God's like, okay, he's committed. He's showing up every day. And I know Brandon's not going to be perfect, but you know what? I've got his attention and he's going to keep trying. And when I fall short and fall by the wayside, as long as I look to God and turn to God, God is pleased. And I think that's one thing I definitely want to just kind of end on, that, you know, continue to just try and show God the effort, because we're not perfect. We are in this flesh. We do that's live right. in this world. Temptation is very real. But as long as you show up every day, God will continue to move in all of our lives, and we can continue to establish a closer and a stronger relationship with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 5904. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Evening.
Good evening.
Sitting here listening to all the comments and everything, yes, it is important to confess your sins. And I feel that for me, that if I've done something wrong and I might not focus on it, but something always comes to remind me of what I've done wrong. And if it's towards a person or even just something I do, not intentionally, but just do it, I have to go back and apologize. And I have to confess to them, that person or whoever, that I was wrong and that I shouldn't have done what I've done. And what I try to focus on, too, sometimes it's not always verbal. Sometimes if you think something that could be a sin, then that counts too, you know. And so I try to focus on the fact that I'm not perfect, and I ask God to forgive me for what I've done wrong that day, during that day, and before I close my eyes to go to sleep, because I know that it's not easy. Temptation is there. People say things, sometimes you forget and come out your mouth the wrong way. That's a sin, especially if it's not words of love or kindness that comes out of your mouth. So, yep, I have to be more focus on confessing my sins and not wait an hour or two later or the next day to say, oop, I made a boo yesterday. Let me go ahead and confess now. Because then again, I'm not being sincere. And if it takes me a day or two just to confess a sin that I've done, then I'm looking at it as okay and it's not okay. So I try to focus on not saying I'm going to plan to do something that's wrong, but if I did something and I realized that it's wrong, I have to confess to say I was wrong. Please forgive me, you know, and try to learn from that and not repeat it, because if I don't learn, then I'll be a subject of the, what I'm trying to say is, if I don't learn from the mistake, then I'll continue to do the same mistake, sin, whatever. So it's all about knowing that it's wrong, confessing that it's wrong, and try to pray about not doing it again.
Amen. You know,
and keep going on. Yeah, that's it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm just glad to be on the line tonight. In this journey, this spiritual journey, it's not easy, but it's worth it. When you know the Lord and you've been down both sides of the road and he loves you and cares for you anyhow, you know that when you've sinned against him or if you've done anything, you always have to admit your wrongdoings to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and even when you live an upright life in your prayers, I always say, God, if I've sinned against you, if I've done anything that was not pleasing in your eyesight, I ask for forgiveness. Because sometimes you sin and you don't even know that you've sinned. Sometimes you may have said mm-hmm. something that may have hurt someone's feelings and you just weren't aware of it. But it's like now, I always go through Lent. I give up some of my 40 days before Easter. I always give up something and I pray. And right now we are doing release and renew. It is so, so real in your life, because when you release it to him, you have to renew that you know that wasn't right. Or even if it wasn't, you're preparing yourself, because God loves you regardless. And his mercy and grace keeps you alive, because he blesses you even when you're wrong. He blesses you. And it's just a part of you as a Christian that you, in this journey, you have to be constantly praying and praising him for his goodness, for his faithfulness in your life. And it becomes a part of you, and you try so hard not to offend or do anything that's not pleasing to him. It's hard. It's not easy sometimes, although you know that God loves you. And when you can plant that in your heart, in your spiritual life, God loves me in spite of. That's all you need. That's all I need. I can't speak for somebody else. It's so good to me down this journey. And I say journey because it is a journey for me.
Mm-hmm.
He has blessed me so, so much. I can't even begin to tell you how grateful, how thankful I am that I know he loves me, and for the things that he has done for me, I don't have to ask nobody. I know nobody else could have done but him. And he will always get that from me. Always. Always. Nothing I can think of would ever make me even think of doing something deliberately. Because, Pastor, you know, I tell you all the time, I'm a changed woman. I am a woman. And I know that I know that I know that he loves me. Scripture that says, I will be with you always. I believe with all my heart. With all my heart. My sister said to me this morning, I'm going to say your special phrase, scripture five. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
And these things that keep me connected spiritually, stay on the right side of God. I don't ever want the wrath of God to come down on me. I thank you all for your teachings, for your love, and I know that, as I always say, God loves me, loves you all, and so do I. I love
Amen.
You.
We love you too.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You for your comment tonight. Priscilla G, that's going to do it for us tonight. You have your final comment and close us out with prayer, please.
Amen. I'll make it quick so I don't get cut off. I think everybody has made all the comments. Let us just continue to trust the Lord, know the truth, remain humble, turn from our wicked ways, pray, and he will heal our land. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for tonight's lesson, Lord. I thank you, Father, because you're teaching us how to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, Lord. I pray that you will forgive us for all of our sins, but also help us to recognize when we have sinned and what it is that you would want us to do to continue to walk in your spirit as well as show your spirit to others. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.